Good morning, everybody. Welcome to worship. It's good to be with you today and just look forward to our time together. Just to let you know that between our two services, we've got classes that are running for all ages. I started that intro to Homewood class today, so you're welcome to join us next week. If you want to come, and this marriage and parenting class is going to be starting, Daryl, next week, right? Next Sunday, that will be starting during that time, and the other classes are up and running as well. The National Day of Prayer will be happening, the special events with the National Day of Prayer on May 6th that will be happening. And we encourage people to go to their courthouses of their own town or city from 12:15 to 12:45 and pray with other brothers and sisters in Christ and just seek God on behalf of the nation. For Moline this year, it's going to be down the street of Millennial Park, just because of space and numbers of people. So Black Hawk, go beyond Black Hawk on the left-hand side is Millennial Park. But there's color-coded guides for each city and town depending on where you live at, and you can pick them up as you're leaving the sanctuary today and use it every day to pray for your town and city and for our government. That could be very helpful. Our care team is starting a Servants in Action group. And what we have in mind here is this will be men and women who want to be part of a list that just helps people with simple needs. It might be someone that needs a car ride somewhere. It might be simple repairs, yard work, things like that. And the way you could become part of that is to sign up. There's sheets in both exits. You can sign up and say, hey, put my name on that servant's in action list, or you could see John Loth if you want to ask more questions about it. And our women's ministry team is planning a ladies' luncheon. This is usually an incredible event, and they're looking at Saturday, May 15th from 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Great time of just mixing with other women in our church. Guys, you can be volunteers to help make it a good reality. Jenny Farrell, a very gifted drama storyteller, is going to be the speaker for that time. It'll just be fun time together. So you got to sign up as you're leaving the day, see the table and sign up for that event. Our call to worship is in Luke chapter 18. This is after Jesus is trying to urge his disciples, keep on praying, don't lose heart. You just hang in there and keep on praying. And then he says, and will God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Let's pray. Father, I thank you that we can cast our burdens upon you because you care for us. I pray for Clem today, whose son Jesse Adams is in the ER, and I pray for your healing touch. I pray for your joy and peace in that room for her and for Clem as well. I thank you for this opportunity to gather together. Help us to forget about what happened this week and just focus on you and hear what you want to say to us. Thank you for the opportunity to praise you with the rest of God's people. And we're just excited for what your Spirit's going to do to magnify Christ. Amen.
Let's stand together and worship. Trouble. surrounds me, chaos abounding, my soul will rest in you. I will not fear the war, I will not fear the storm, my help is on the way, my help is on the way. Oh my God, He will not delay, my refuge and strength. Always, I will not fear, His promise is true, my God will come through, always, always. Let's sing this together, church. I lift my eyes up, my help comes from the Lord, no matter what you're going through. I lift my eyes up, my help comes from the Lord. Let's put our confidence in Him. I lift my eyes up, my help comes from the Lord. I lift my eyes up, my help comes from the Lord. Oh my God, He will not delay, my refuge and strength. I will not fear, His promise is true, my God will come through, always, always. And oh my God, He will not delay, my refuge and strength, always, always. Amen. John 15, verse 13 says, greater love has no one than this, that a person will lay down his life for his friends. That's what Jesus did. He laid his life down for us, and He's alive, and He rose again. So let's reflect on that this morning as we transition into hearing from God's word. Even though I know that life can get busy, let's have our minds be focused on Him this morning, on what He's speaking to us. And then let's respond to Him through worship, through praise, through the way that we treat each other.
Come close, listen to the story. About a love more faithful than the morning. Father gave His only Son just to save us. The earth was shaking in the dark. All creation felt the Father's broken heart. Tears were filling heaven's eyes. The day that true love died, the day that true love died, when blood and water hit the ground. Walls we couldn't move came crashing down. We were free and made alive. The day that true love died, the day that true love died. search your heart. Search your heart, you know you can't deny it. Come on, lose your life just so you can find it. The Father gave his only Son just to save us. The earth was shaking in the dark. All creation felt the Father's broken heart. Tears were filling heaven's eyes. The day that true love died, the day that true love died, when blood and water hit the ground, walls we couldn't move came crashing down. We were free and made alive. The day that true love died, the day that true love died. Let's sing this out, church. Now Jesus is alive, 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 oh, he is alive, he rose again. When blood and water hit the ground, walls we couldn't move came crashing down, we were free and made alive. The day that true love died, the day that true love died. Come close. Listen to the story. Dear Father, thank you so much, God, for your story. We thank you and praise you every day of our lives for your Son. Because without your death and your resurrection, we would be hopeless. We'd be separated from you. We'd have no peace. We'd just be left to ourselves. We praise you. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
What a privilege it is to be able to pray with you again. We always have that privilege as we gather together. And today our spotlight is on Dave and Karen Wilkins. They work with Crew, and their primary focus is on the Jesus film, taking the gospel, the Jesus film, and putting it in different languages around the world. Well, they too have been struck by the limitations of the COVID crisis and haven't been able to do very much. In fact, they're even having struggles with unity within the ministry because people have different convictions about how you should respond to the government and all this stuff and this COVID crisis, and they just want us to pray for unity in the ranks with the people they're working with. They're looking for funds to dub more of the Jesus film, and right now they've got 60 languages waiting to happen, and they can't. They don't have the freedom to go there now with the COVID limitations, and we want to pray for things to be fast-tracked and for the recording teams to be able to do the work they're doing. They also are going through a shift in the headquarters. Their engineering department has nowhere to call home right now, and so you can imagine the frustration with a group of engineers who don't have a place to do their work and just need patience in this whole process. So let's be praying for the work of Dave and Karen and that work. They minister, live in Florida, but their impact is all around the world. So let's go to the throne of grace, pray in behalf of our brother and sister, and whatever else is on your heart, take it before God too. Lord, we bring before you Dave and Karen Wilkins. I pray for you, first of all, for unity in their organization, whether it's biblical understanding of the COVID crisis and government and things like that. Give them unity and one voice and one mind as they know they've got common Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help them also, the engineering department, to be patient in this process, but yet for others to communicate that they are valued for what they do. And we pray that these 60 languages waiting for the Jesus film, you would fast track that so they could have the message of Jesus in their own language, learn and believe. Father, I thank you that you are with us always. I thank you that the message doesn't stop with the cross or the tomb, that Jesus rose on the third day and he's alive forevermore and he's controlling the future. Pray that you would calm and settle our hearts no matter what we're going through. And Lord, as long as you give us breath, would you prompt us to live for you and to make the most of every opportunity. Lord, help us to hear what you want to say to us. Use not only me, but servants all over the place, churches everywhere. May you use them, fill them, empower them for the glory of your Son, the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. Amen.
When will this class end? When will the waiter bring our food? When will I get a job? When will I get married? When will we have a child? When is the last time you started a sentence or a thought with when? Last month? Last week? When this video started? When will this be over? We are conditioned to want to know when. God does things differently. There is another four-letter word that God seems to love. Wait. It's something we all have to do. But something special happens when we allow God into our wait. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait expectantly. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word, I put my hope. So after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. When we wait with God, he begins to work in us. God just might be waiting for you to wait.
Let's be honest. You've been praying about something and God gives you this silent treatment and you think he's not hearing. You get frustrated, you get upset, and so you stop praying or you try to take things into your own hands. You don't like that word wait, do you? And honestly, there's many times I don't like that word wait either. Yet we're going to come crashing into it in Revelation chapter 6, the second half of this chapter, where this emphasis on waiting, and it was well worth waiting, is going to come through loud and clear. The context is the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, has this scroll that's sealed. It was in the Father's hand, the one who's sitting on the throne, and Jesus takes it, and he begins to break it one seal at a time. And as he breaks the seals in heaven, dramatic things happen on earth. And so we get to the fifth seal being broken. And we're taken back to heaven again, where this something is happening in heaven. And with this fifth seal of Revelation chapter 6, beginning verse 9, there are these earnest prayers on the part of God's people who are just pouring out their hearts before God, and their request is about being avenged. Their concern is about revenge for the way they have been treated. So we pick this up in verse 9. When the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been killed Same word for slaughtered of the Lamb of God in chapter 5, verse 6. They have been killed because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they maintained. In the earthly tabernacle or temple, there were actually two altars. There was this bronze altar, which was a larger altar, and on that altar, animal sacrifices would be sacrificed and the blood would be poured out at the base of it. So you could see the illusion here that the souls are underneath the altar and they have been slaughtered. Their blood has been shed for the cause of Christ. There was another altar, which was the golden altar of incense, which was right in front of the Holy of Holies, right in front of the very presence of the glorious God. And so you can see that here too, where prayers are being offered to God and getting through to God. It could be, some people suggest, maybe both of those earthly altars are combined with one altar in heaven. And that's what we see here, this altar, these sacrifices, these people struggling. Notice it's their souls. These people have been martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ. So they're not in their bodies, but their souls are very much alive in the presence of God. And their souls are crying out, and they're crying out, pleading for God to do something about what has happened to them, implying many of them, they have died, they've suffered. And what have they suffered for? It is for the word of God. They have been faithful to the gospel. They've been faithful to the word of God. And they are suffering because they maintained their testimony about Jesus. And they were true even to the point of their death for being true to Jesus and maintaining their testimony. I find this real helpful in dealing with persecution or dealing with suffering. Because you have a tendency to just see the person or the group and getting frustrated or angry about that person. Notice this language helps us view persecution or suffering as a sacrifice to God. Instead of being preoccupied with the perpetrators and being angry about that, I died for Jesus Christ, but that was an offering of worship to God. I view what I went through as an act of worship, a sacrifice to God. Paul describes his experience in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 this way. He knows he's going to die at the hands of Nero, but he doesn't look at it on a human plane. Instead, he sees his coming death. That was a sacrifice of offering my life to God and his service. 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. Do this next time you're suffering, and it's unfair. Instead of being frustrated and angry at the person, step back and say, hey, I'm viewing what I'm going through as an offering of worship to God. It's my way of offering a sacrifice. It's my way of doing something that I trust is pleasing to God. You will look at that experience totally different when you look at it that way. That's the perspective we're having in heaven at this point. And they're crying out. They're crying out for vengeance and justice. And they cried out with a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who live on the earth? You see, you're not the only one with how long struggles. These people at the end times who are being put to death for their faith in Jesus Christ, there's this how long? And I know when you're going it, you think, I'm the only one with this how long struggle where I pray and it doesn't seem to make a difference. It seems to be getting worse rather than better. Still take it before God in faith. Cry out, how long? Just as they're experiencing here. Notice how they challenge their own thinking with what follows. They're addressing God as, you are master, you are Lord. And since you are master and Lord, if that's what you had me go through, that's okay. If you want me to keep going through this, you're master, not me. And you are also holy and true, the same description which was used of Jesus in chapter 3, verse 7. Even if it doesn't make sense to me, Lord, I know that you are always consistently holy and true. And one day I'll see how clear that really was when it wasn't very clear with what I was going through. But because you are holy, you cannot endure and continue to look on sin. You must do something about it. You will do something about it. You are holy. You are true. You are genuine, and you will come through, and I can trust both your words and your actions. And so how long until you are you going to refrain from judging and avenging our blood? They've been martyred, and it's implied here this was recent. In these end times, this was a recent experience is what's implied here. And judging and avenging our blood on those who live on the earth. Where did we see that before? In chapter 3, verse 10. Jesus promises for those who have kept his word of perseverance, he will keep them from the hour of testing, which is about to come on those who dwell on the earth. In other words, those who dwell on the earth, they are the ones who were ungodly and growing in their hostility against God and their rebellion against God. And any followers of the Lamb, any followers of God, they were taking out their revenge on those followers of the Lord. And they continue in their hostility against God and his people, implying with this cry happening, this was a recent experience that they were martyred on earth at the hands of those who dwell on the earth, who are unbelievers and hostile against God and any of his followers. Notice the response. A white robe was given to each one of them. Okay, their souls, we gather not in a body, and they're given their glorified body at the rapture when that takes place. And yet they're given white robes, and you've got to think through how you explain that. But certainly be given white robes, we think through all of this, it means perfect righteousness. It means purity. It means glory. And it means you are in the camp of the overcomers. Chapter 3, verse 5, the promise for the overcomers. They will walk with him in these long white robes. And so what's settling the hearts of these souls are, you are the ones in the camp of the overcomers. It looks like those wicked, stubborn people on earth who took out their vengeance on me by taking it out on you, it looks like they're the overcomers. But no, you're the overcomers. And you're in glory right now, and you're going to enjoy that glory. And so that is said to calm them. And notice what's added in addition to that. God says to them, rest for a little while longer. What is the experience of people in the presence of God? It is this calm rest in his presence. This is what he has for his own. Calm rest. So those loved ones who believed in Jesus and they have died, right now they continue to experience calm rest in the presence of God. Where do we have our hope of our future when we take our last breath, whether we die in persecution or something else, whatever it might be, we go into calm rest in the presence of the Lord. And we've got to keep that in mind. There's no hiccups with that calm rest in the presence of God. But notice what's added. Rest for a little while longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers and sisters who are to be killed, even as they had been, would be completed also. What's implied in the context, many of these people who were martyred for their faith in Christ died as a result of the first four seals. It said a lot of people died, a lot of people were killed, and this implies going into the fifth seal that many of these people were Christians. Many of these people will be followers of the Lord, faithful followers, and they are going to be killed for their faithfulness to Christ, to the Lamb. But notice where we find great confidence: until that number is completed, God knows the exact number of how many people will be martyred in loyalty to him and the Son of God. And there's going to come a time when that last number will happen. That last person will be martyred for being faithful to Jesus Christ. And then God says, that's it. Now it's time for judgment for those who dwell on the earth and continue in their unrepentant, hardened state. And I think we find confidence God knows when that number is completed. And it should instill confidence in us. He knows that number in the end times. Don't you think he knows the same number right now with what you're going through? He knows when the last trial that you need to go through to purify your faith in Christ, he knows when that's completed. He knows what he's doing. And so they can be reassured through all that's happening here. God is in control. He knows even when that last martyrdom will take place. And then we get to the sixth seal. Very, very dramatic. God begins to avenge, beginning with the sixth seal in verse 12. I said last week that those who believe in a pre-tribulational rapture, in other words, Jesus is going to take the church about 7 years before his actual return, they would say that rapture happens before the first seal. Now, another way of understanding these things is the pre-wrath rapture. And people who take that position say, we don't know exactly when, but here's the point. Right before the wrath of God begins to be poured out on earth, he will rapture and take his church at that point. They will be taken into his presence. And then those who dwell on earth are going to get what they deserve. And so we pick this up in verse 12. I looked, and this is dramatic. You know, when we go through a cataclysmic experience on earth, sometimes just an awful tornado can be pretty overwhelming, the devastation of what one tornado can do and what can spin off of that. The same could be said of hurricanes and other earthquakes and things like that. Now, brace yourself for a combination of a whole bunch of things happening that for those who are going to be there, it's like the universe is falling apart. Just imagine you're seeing all this happen. When he broke this sixth seal, there was a great earthquake, okay? And the sun became as black as sackcloth. Well, the moon is reliant on the sun's light, so it's going to be impacted as well. The sun is black as sackcloth made of hair. The whole moon became like blood. And the stars of the sky fell to the earth, as the fig tree drops its unripe figs when shaken by a great wind. Now, literally, stars won't fall to the earth because one star falling to earth would destroy the earth. But you see, this is from the vantage point of being on earth, from the vantage point of looking out on from earth to the heavens, it looks like all these stars are just falling down to the earth. And a very common scene in those days was their fig trees. What happened in March, they would have these early ripe figs that would come on the fig trees, these buds that would come forth. They would grow to about the size of a cherry, and people enjoyed eating these figs before the main crop came. But one thing that was true, any wind that blew that way could quickly just cause those figs to just fall to the ground. And they're saying at this point, as people are looking out from earth in their hardened spiritual state, it's like the stars are falling one after another in combination to the earth. And there's this overwhelming kind of experience happening. The sky was split apart like a scroll when it's rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Wow. We're not just talking one disaster. We're talking about combination of disasters on earth and from the heavens, which is very overwhelming. The prophets foretold this day. One passage we'll look at, and another one is in Joel chapter 2, in verse 30 and 31, where Joel says, I will display wonders in the sky and on the earth, blood, fire, and columns of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. Here's key for those who aren't Christians. It will come about that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Call upon the name of the Lord and be saved today. But notice what Joel is saying is, when these things happen, that indicates the day of the Lord judgments have begun. Because the day of the Lord is not a 24-hour time period as we would look at it. The day of the Lord is a time period when God is going to pour out his wrath for people who really have been storing up the wrath they deserve, and God begins to pour it out upon these people. The cry of those souls for justice and revenge, that prayer was heard, and God begins to answer. Isaiah describes it this way in chapter 34, verse 4, all the heavenly lights will wear away, and the sky will be rolled up like a scroll. And its lights will also wither away, and a leaf withers from the vine, whereas one withers from the fig tree. So there's that description. Now they're happening, indicating it is time for the day of the Lord judgments, and these people deserve it on earth. And God is responding in part to the people who've been martyred and been crying out, how long? Now that time has come, and now the how long is completed, and now it's time for his fierce judgments to be poured out upon the earth, indicating the day of the Lord for worldwide judgments are now beginning on earth. Verses 15 to 17 describe from the angle of the unbelievers on earth, and what's interesting is it will describe people from all walks of life. It will describe people from all stratas of society. And what's continually consistent with all of them is every one of them recognizes the source of what's happening. There won't be a mystery here. They will know this is from heaven. This is from the one who sits on the throne. This is from the Lamb, this wrath that we are going to begin to experience. So notice this. Verse 15, the kings of the earth, they can't avoid it, the eminent people, the commanders and the wealthy and the strong, and every slave and free person hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. That's coming in the end times. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 19 describes that as well. And they said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the sight of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. In the sight of here is in the face of. You know, when you're around someone important and they're smiling upon you, okay, that means good news. That means they're favorable towards me. But if they're frowning, if their face is disfavorable to me, you're in trouble. Well, now here is the face of God looking on, not in grace. It's with disfavor he's looking upon a world and those who dwell on it. It's your day of judgment. And it's your time to taste the wrath of God poured out upon you. And they know it. And they are aware of the source where it's coming from, the disfavor of the one sitting on the throne and the wrath of the Lamb. And they recognize the great day of their wrath has come for all these unrepentant people on earth. And guess what? They can't hide. There's no place to hide. And they recognize that as well. I think in terms of application, I think it's very important that you don't take revenge into your own hands. I know it's tempting. I know you're angry at that person. I know he or she wronged you. But you don't take it into your hands. You let God take care of that. These people have been crying out, even from under the throne in the presence of God, Lord, when are you going to bring about vengeance? When are you going to bring about justice? When are you going to usher in your kingdom? We're longing for it. God heard every prayer on earth and in heaven with these souls crying out. And we need to realize, hey, I don't take revenge into my hands much as I'd like to do it. I leave that with God in his timing. Notice the common cry from these sinful people on earth as they recognize this great day of their wrath has come. Who is able to stand? Chapter 7 will give us more of an explanation of who will be able to stand, but they realize they can't. There's no way they can endure and stand with these judgments being poured out one after another on earth, and they are not able to stand. So I urge you, if you're here today and you realize I am not a Christian, I have not repented of my sins, I haven't turned to Jesus Christ, you're in the camp of one who cannot stand. You can't stand on the day of wrath. So right now, turn to Christ. So you are in the camp of the overcomers. And you are in the camp of the one who can stand. And of course, taken out of the day of wrath that's coming upon these hardened, evil people and what they deserve. You see, the longer you don't repent, the more you are just storing up more and more wrath, which is inexcusable for that day of judgment. And you're just storing up more and more of his wrath that you will deserve and you won't be able to stand. But I think in terms of people who are struggling with the how longs, we need to realize God heard every single cry. Every cry about injustice. Every cry about your struggles. Every cry about, I can't figure this out, I need your help, God. God heard every single one of them. And the cries when people were just killing followers of Jesus en masse, those cries were heard. The Father was looking on from the throne. The Lamb is looking on. And that will be so clear with this sixth seal when we'll be very, very aware he heard every how long cry. And now he's done something about it. And so I think we need to realize that in terms of prayer, don't give up. God hears those cries about injustice. Keep pouring your heart out before God and know that in his time, he will act in a holy and true fashion. See how dynamic this is? We move from the fifth seal with souls who are struggling with all of these how long agonies, and then God's powerful answer with the sixth seal when he says, okay, the last of the number has been completed. Now it's time for that day of wrath and to be poured out upon those who unearth the unrepentant. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this powerful reminder that you hear. You've heard our how longs. You are a God who is holy and true. You are the judge. And we can leave that with you when we feel that someone has wronged us so badly. And I pray, Father, that we can recognize that you've got a plan that won't be frustrated. And we can be of that number of the overcomers. Help us to keep on praying. Help us to keep on being faithful and keep our eyes on you. Through the Lamb of God, we pray. Amen.
We open this morning singing a couple songs to each other, essentially about God, about his attributes, about who he is. And we're going to close this morning singing a few songs directly to the Lord. So I just encourage you to take this time. We're doing it corporately as a church, but I just want to encourage you to take this time to really be with God. Let this be your prayer. Let this be your anthem this morning. Just don't worry about who's listening, who you're around. If we all sing loud enough, then no one will be able to tell that we're singing. That's what I tell the students on Tuesday night. Don't worry about it. But I just want to encourage you guys that you guys can feel free to stand. You can feel free to sit, get on your knees, dance, whatever you feel is right between you and the Lord. We're going to close with these two songs.
God of Abraham, you're the God of covenant, faithful promises. Time and time again, you have proven you do just what you say. Though the storms may come and the winds may blow, I'll remain steadfast and let my heart learn. When you speak a word, it will come to pass. Great is your faithfulness to me. Great is your faithfulness to me. From the rising sun to the setting same, I will praise your name. Great is your faithfulness to me. Seasons change, you remain the same. God, from age to age, though the earth may pass away, your word remains the same. Yeah. History can prove there's nothing you can't do. You're faithful and true. Though the storms may come and the winds may blow, I'll remain steadfast and let my heart learn. When you speak a word, it will come to pass. Great is your faithfulness to me. Great is your faithfulness to me. From the rising sun to the setting same, I will praise your name. Great is your faithfulness to me.
Let's sing this together, church. I put my faith in Jesus.
I put my faith in Jesus, my anchor to the ground, my hope and firm foundation. He'll never let me down. I put my faith in Jesus, my anchor to the ground.
That's how we know that we can be faithful. We can keep our promises with each other because he keeps his promises. We can love each other unconditionally because he unconditionally loves us. He's a way maker, he's a miracle worker, a promise keeper. He's a light in the darkness. Let's declare that to him as a church this morning.
You are here, moving in our midst. Worship you. Worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. Let's sing that again. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are a way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you.
You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. Even when I don't see it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working.
Even when I don't see it, you're working.
Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working.
Thank you.
you are. Let's sing it out to him. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 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 Darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you
I just want to give a big hello to the Children's Church kids. What's up, guys? What's up? You guys sang wonderful. We've been working on a few different songs. That's literally their favorite song. I remember one week I said, we're not doing this song. I'm just put my foot down. Ariel, help me. And there was a mutiny. They didn't sing any other of the other songs. It was really awkward. I just sang by myself. So but as Pastor said this morning, our God is in control. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter what's going on with our country. It doesn't matter what's going on with the world. It doesn't matter what's going on with our personal lives. We know that we're going to face hard times. We know that life's not going to be easy. But God is in control. And right now, we live in a country where it's free, and we have the freedom to meet together and to praise him together. And we're going to keep doing that until we're not free anymore. And when we're not free anymore, we're still going to do it. We're just going to meet secretly, and we're going to keep praising him because he's in control. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you so much. It's an honor to praise you, God. It's an honor to give you glory, to worship you with our brothers and sisters. I pray that everyone here has a blessed week. In your name we pray. Amen.